Hello and welcome to Pathways, where you are invited to join me for a visit with leaders in personal development and cultural evolution. This is your host, Paul O'Brien. Many of us strive so hard to achieve ego-based results at work and in our personal lives, yet end up creating a stress-filled life in the process. We can no longer pretend that happiness will be achieved solely by attaining outer success. If we don't incorporate spirituality, then stress-related illness, depression, and even hopelessness can overtake our lives. Our guest today is John Murphy, author of the new book, Miracle-Minded Manager, a modern-day parable about how to apply A Course in Miracles to business. John is a global business consultant, speaker, spiritual mystic, Zentrepreneur, and award-winning author. He is founder and CEO of Venture Management Consultants, a firm specializing in creating lean, high-performance work environments. As a consultant, Murphy has delivered services to some of the world's leading organizations. As an educator and Lean Six Sigma Master Black Belt, Murphy has trained thousands of people from over 50 countries, including Fortune 500 executives, project leaders, military leaders, managers, and black belts. He has mentored dozens of project teams in organizational development, operational excellence, business process innovation, and Lean Six Sigma applications. As a speaker, John has delivered keynotes and seminars worldwide. A critically acclaimed authority on peak performance, transformational leadership, and healthy mind-body-spirit, Murphy is a best-selling author who has published 19 books and appeared on over 400 radio and television stations, and his work has been featured in over 50 newspapers nationwide. Hello, John, and welcome to the Pathways program.
Hi, Paul. It's great being here. Thank you.
So let's talk about this book, The Miracle-Minded Manager. Is it just about business, or does it apply more broadly than that?
Oh, it applies far more broadly than that, Paul. It's a great question because it's a little misleading in the title that it's about, you know, business management. But the truth is, people are managing all kinds of things throughout the day. We manage our households, we manage our families, we manage our diets, we manage time, we manage projects. So it's really a book for anybody who manages anything, seeking to do it in a more inspiring, peaceful way, without just continuous anxiety and stress and worry. So it's really, that's the shift. It's a shift from stress-based anxiousness, anxiety, worry, to mindfulness and peace of mind and presence.
And why does managing things tend to create stress for people?
Well, stress is a projection of the mind, and it's the mind projecting something negative into the future. So I'm a business consultant, so I do a lot of root cause analysis. I go into businesses and I find out where the symptoms are hurting, where there's problems. Same thing with individuals. As a coach, I'm a life coach and an executive coach. We find out basically the undesirable effects that people or businesses are experiencing. We do root cause analysis to find out really where's the leverage point that we need to work on so that we get sustainable change, truly transformational and sustainable change. So stress, if we don't get to the root cause, it just keeps coming back. You know, we get stressed day after day after day. Now, we have all kinds of stress management strategies, you know, go to the gym, work out, get exercise, meditate, do yoga, and in some cases, even medicate, take pills. And we have a crisis there, as you know, for a lot of people. But getting to the root cause, stress is a projection of the mind that something negative is going to happen in the future. It's pure assumption, but the assumption is, I'm going to make a mistake. I'm going to hurt myself. If I get stressed about getting up to give a speech, which freaks a lot of people out, the stress is coming from the idea in the mind that I'm going to look stupid. I'm going to say something stupid. I'm going to make a mistake. Children who are getting stressed in school over an exam are projecting an image, a negative assumption into the future that they're going to fail the exam or make a mistake. Anytime we allow our minds to project something negative into the future, we're going to experience anxiety and stress. And then it compounds because, as you probably know, stress triggers a hormonal reaction in the body. So now we feel it physically, you know, the cortisol, a stress hormone, the adrenaline, a stress hormone. And incidentally, stress hormones, when they're triggered, they weaken our immune system. So this is why a lot of people get sick when they're stressed. Their immune system is weakened. And then they get more stressed when they are sick. Oh no, what if this is something really serious? What if it's terminal? Then what? And that, again, that negative assumption, that negative projection freaks people out. So getting to that root cause, which is in the mind, stress is something we create. It doesn't happen to us. It comes from us. So learning to make that shift, which is what miracle mindedness is all about, allows us to live with more harmony and peace and balance in our lives, irregardless of our circumstances. Now we couple that with law of attraction by putting out a good vibe, so to speak, a good positive energy. We reap what we sow. We get back a positive experience. So it's absolutely critical to be mindful of the vibe we put out. And if it's negative and stressing and anxious and afraid, which is just another word for the ego, because the ego is a fear-based thought system. It's always projecting negative. It's projecting lack and scarcity. I need more. I need more. I need more. Whenever we adopt that thought system, which is also known as human nature,
it's
human nature. We're sacrificing our spiritual nature, because spirit and ego are mutually exclusive thought systems. We're either driven by a fear-based, anxious thought system, dualistic, right, wrong, good, bad, us, them, that's the ego talking, or we're fearless and free, which is the spirit.
Now, doesn't the ego have some utility? I mean, are you demonizing the ego? A lot of spiritual teachers tend to do that, where they just define the ego as totally negative. It seems to me it might have some practical utility.
Oh, absolutely. To me, it's a tool. The ego thought system is a tool. It's like a hammer. How can you call a hammer positive or negative? Okay. By the way, that would be the ego talking, because the ego is always splitting things and separating things in a dualistic way. So it's either good or it's bad. It's us or it's them. It's win or it's lose. That's the ego thought system. So of course it helps us discern what we want from what we don't want. I mean, the world's full of contrast, and without contrast, we wouldn't know anything. How are we supposed to know what up means if we don't know what down is, or what day is without night? So that contrast is a beautiful yin-yang thing that allows us then to make choices. And the ego, as a tool, like the hammer or screwdriver, allows us to be very pragmatic and practical.
Yeah. I mean, it seems obvious that we live, on one level, we live in a dualistic universe where you have the subject and you have the object, whether it's an object of desire or another person or some objective. And in order to operate in the world, we have to have that ability, right?
Sure. As humans, we have to discern up and down and right and wrong and things like that to get along in a civil way. But A Course in Miracles teaches us that there's, beyond the illusion of separation, we're all connected. There's a field that connects us all. And that's called love, with a capital L. And I say capital L love because it's a very different definition than what the ego defines as love. The ego thinks of love as temporary. I fall in love with someone, I fall out of love with something. It's something I give and I take away. That's maybe a romantic definition of love. But love with a capital L is essentially the energy we all come from. Okay, mm-hmm. We come from a field of love, and that's that same energy is what connects us all. So as bodies, which is how the ego sees things, as bodies we see each other as separate and different, and unique, and so on, so special. Of Course in Miracles teaches us that everyone's special because we're all one. We're all connected. Okay, and so there you have it.
And when I've been to India, I lived in India for a year, and I've read so many stories of the living saints, etc. And in some of the cases, they were so beyond the egoistic realm or the dualistic realm that they wouldn't even feed themselves. Their followers had to put food in their mouths because they were not functioning in this practical way. But it seems to me that there must be some kind of paradoxical balance that needs to be achieved between this ego as a tool, like you say, as a lower level of consciousness, and a unity of higher level of consciousness. that seems to be kind of an interesting dance, getting those two things going on at the same time.
Oh, yeah. And another way, just again, a simple metaphor for people to contemplate is think of the ego, think of the body as your automobile, your car. Not a bad idea to wash it once in a while. Not a bad idea to put fuel in it. Not a bad idea to take care of it, respect it. And I think the same is true with the body. So you don't want to starve your car. I don't think you want to starve your body. At the same time, I don't think you want to abuse your car or your body the way some people do. So it's you know, it's about balance. It's about intelligence. It's about, while we're on this planet, why not live in the most enlightened, positive, joyful way that we can?
And have the ego serve the higher self.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, I've heard it said that the ego makes a good lieutenant, but a terrible general.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah, exactly.
Now, getting back to the subject of stress, one of the things that struck me in your book is that you purport that it's possible to eliminate stress rather than just manage it. Yeah, now, I've heard it said, you know, like from account, like every, I've had a generalized anxiety at different periods of my life, and I've had counselors tell me, well, you can't get rid of anxiety, you just have to learn how to manage it.
Yeah, well, I disagree with that, because I think you can eliminate it, but you have to get to the root cause. So you think about paradigms or boxes that people, these mental models, these programs we all believe to be true. But I often say to my clients that it doesn't do you a lot of good in the long run to solve problems inside a box when it's the box that's the problem. Solving problems inside a paradigm when it's the actual belief system or the paradigm that's the problem. I mean, we see this in our healthcare system all the time. We're trying to figure out who should pay bills for things that shouldn't be done. All right, we're managing, and I see it in business all the time. We're trying to improve things that should be eliminated. So here we have all kinds of stress management strategies. Like I said, you know, go to the gym, meditate, do yoga, have a glass of wine and relax or watch television or a comedy or something to take your mind off of the stress, when in fact we can delete the stress, but that requires programming at the subconscious level. And I love the work of Dr. Bruce Lipton, for example, Biology of Belief, The Wisdom of the Cells. And what Bruce teaches is that the conscious mind, which processes about 40 bits of data per second, is nowhere close to the power of the subconscious mind, which is in the neighborhood of 40 million bits of data per second. It's a million to one ratio. So for listeners, if you have trouble breaking a habit, for example, changing a habit, it's generally because your conscious mind is saying, I'm going to stop doing this, or I'm going to start doing that. And the subconscious mind's going, right. You tried that last year. You know, that's never going to happen. Well, guess what? The subconscious mind wins hands down. That's the title of another one of my books, is called Habits Die Hard, and that's precisely what I go into. So habit change and transformational change isn't about willpower, which is the conscious mind. It's a deletion process. We have to find and delete subconscious doubts and limiting beliefs and things going on in our mind. These programs that just continue to repeat themselves until we delete them. So in a sense, we all run on autopilot 95 to 99% of the day. This is research from Bruce Lipton. So if our autopilot, our subconscious mind, is running our day-to-day lives, we better know what's going on in there. Okay. By the way, another interesting data point is that the conscious mind is usually not present. And I've even seen studies where it on average, it's not present more than 11 seconds at a time. So where's the conscious mind? Well, the conscious mind's thinking about all the stuff we got to do tomorrow or next week or next year, or it's thinking about something that happened yesterday or 10 years ago that's still bothering us. So while the conscious mind is not present, who's running the show? And the answer is the subconscious mind, which has no choice but to be present. The subconscious mind cannot think in terms of the past or the future. It's always present.
But we call it subconscious because we're not conscious of it. So how on earth are you going to go in there and ferret out these stuck beliefs that are the programming of the subconscious mind and let go of them?
That's a Perfect question. So thanks for asking that, Paul. And in fact, I go into that in detail in the book. But the quick answer to that is examine your tendencies, examine your habits. So if you have a tendency to get nervous in certain situations, you have a tendency to get angry, or you have a tendency to get stressed or worried, look at your tendencies. And in other words, look what you're reaping. Look how you're behaving habitually, because that's another word for the subconscious mind, the habitual mind. Wayne Dyer used to talk a lot about that. Look at your tendencies, and within a tendency, there can be thousands of latent thoughts, hidden thoughts, or programs. So you look at your tendencies, and that's a way to get at the subconscious thoughts that are holding you back or restricting you, so to speak. And then it's a letting go process, and there's some wonderful tools for releasing these programs from the mind.
Yeah. Well, that is a very exciting prospect. In part two of your book is entitled, I Am Determined to See. And then you mentioned that A Course in Miracles states, nothing I see means anything.
Yeah.
That seems kind of paradoxical.
Yeah, well, the A Course in Miracles is 365 lessons. The workbook is one lesson per day for a year. And the process is as you go through the course, you have a complete shift in awareness, a complete shift in thinking. That's essentially the miracle. A correction of the mind is how it's defined, or a shift in perception. So nothing I see means anything is one of the lessons. And so as a practitioner, a student of A Course in Miracles, you go through the day looking at a variety of things and saying, you know, this chair doesn't mean anything. This table doesn't mean anything. This person, and this is where it really shakes a lot of people. This person, my child, my spouse, doesn't mean anything. It's a shocking perspective, but then the very next day, the mantra, the lesson is, I give meaning to everything I see. So what that means is everything we see is essentially neutral. All right. In other words, we can both look at the same thing and see something very different. You might love it, I might not. Okay, it's like a song. You might love it, I might not. It's an image. You might like it, I might not. So we're giving meaning to everything we see. So what the course is teaching you is pay attention to the meaning you're giving to things. And I like to remind people whenever they say, oh, I'm so stressed, or I'm so annoyed, and I say, well, what's bothering you? And they say, oh, so-and-so, or such-and-such, this person, or this situation. And I say, that's not what's stressing you. And they're like, what? I say, that's not what's stressing you. What's stressing you is what you think of that person, or what you think of that situation. It's not the situation or the person. It's what you think of them, or what you think of it. That's what's stressing you. So stress isn't coming from outside of us. It's coming from our mind and the way we think about the world around us.
In the way we perceive things.
Precisely.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So we need to change our perception, which is the definition of miracle in A Course in Miracles. And that's you, exactly. In your book, are pointing out how managers in business can use this, but you're also telling me that it could be used for parenting or relationships, all kinds of things. I found the book to be very broadly applicable.
Well, yeah, and that's the feedback it's getting. It's getting wonderful reviews from all kinds of people, including multiple New York Times bestsellers. They're saying it's a book on life, not just a book on management. In fact, it's getting wonderful accolades from women, because behind the two main characters are women who are really in my mind, they're the beauty of the story.
Right.
A real story for women.
Yeah, they seem to be the ones that are the most grounded in the understandings. Part 15 of your book is By Grace, I Am Released. Talk to us about grace.
Well, grace is just another way to think about the Tao, and think about the great flow, think about the great current, think about the field of energy, or the love that we all live in. So grace, by grace I am released. It's another way of saying I'm getting out of my own way. I'm letting go of resistance and distraction and anger and condemnation. And by forgiving and letting go, I'm letting flow. And it's that field of love and grace and peace that's ever present, always available to us. We just have to channel it. We have to tap it. So it's the Tao. It's the great flow. You could put whatever words on it you want to.
Right.
When we open the faucet, metaphorically, the water flows. So when we open our hearts and we open our mind, positive energy flows. So A Course in Miracles teaches us that there's no source of negative energy. There is only positive energy. There is only pure love. That's where we all come from. Anything negative comes from resistance to that flow, resistance to the Tao, resistance to God, to love.
Based on ignorance about who we are.
Precisely, and that's what the Buddha said 2,500 years ago. Ignorance is the root cause of every problem on the planet. In fact, that's in the book as well.
Right, so this concept of grace implies that I can't do it on my own. I have to be open to the connection with the greater good or the higher power or the source of creative power.
Exactly, and that's transcendence of ego right there, because anyone who thinks I have to do this on my own, it's, you know, my way or the highway. I'm in charge. And by the way, a lot of the training we've seen over the years in business and leadership and management, we hear paradigms, these belief systems, like to be successful, you have to work hard. I'll tell you what, Paul, I know a lot of people who work really hard and they're anything but successful. They're miserable. So, yeah. There's a shift there. Maybe we have to work differently, not necessarily hard.
Now, you have a lot to say about the law of attraction. And I'm wondering, the law of attraction, that seems like that's kind of a strategy of the ego. But I'm missing something.
Well, anybody who approaches the law of attraction from an ego perspective is going to struggle, because the ego believes in scarcity and lack. So a lot of times what people who don't really understand what the law of attraction experience is, they say, well, I want more money. I want more abundance. I want a better relationship with somebody. I want a relationship with somebody.
Yeah.
But they're expressing that from a feeling of lack. In other words, I want it because I don't have it. And when we're expressing something from a field of lack or a feeling of lack, we're attracting more lack into our lives.
Yeah.
So it's always out there and we don't seem to be able to get it. And so then people throw their hands up and say, well, the law of attraction is ridiculous. That doesn't work. But the difference is when we approach life feeling what it is we do desire, feeling it in the now, even though we don't have it. This is like the indigenous tribes when they did rain dances. They went out and they collectively danced as if it was raining. They were feeling the rains before they ever came. And that collective consciousness, that collective energy, brought rain. And there's science on that to this day. HeartMath Institute has some wonderful science on the heart coherence. And I even have a software that I use in my workshops from HeartMath where you hook up and it actually reads your heart coherence, the vibe that you're putting out from your heart. By the way, the vibe comes through your heart, not your head, not your mind. So when we're putting out a vibe, an energy, a frequency of abundance and prosperity and joy and happiness, the universe responds in kind. We reap what we sow. And otherwise, if we're dreaming of something we want, but we're putting it out with a doubtful vibe, we won't get it.
Say a few words about forgiveness. So we've only got like a couple minutes left, but forgiveness and freedom is a theme in the book.
Definitely. And again, you have to look at a different definition between ego forgiveness and spiritual forgiveness. Ego forgiveness sounds like this. I was right and you were wrong, but I forgive you. That's condemnation. So guess what you're going to receive back, law of attraction? More things to condemn, more condemnation. You're going to live with that feeling of attack and defend and guilt and worry and all those things. Forgiveness from a spiritual perspective looks at it from, you said the earlier, ignorance. Forgive them, they know not what they do. All right? Forgive them because it's as if it never happened. I'm completely letting it go. I'm not going to bring it up 2 years from now or 10 years from now and say, do you remember when you did this or that? Again, that's ego, that's condemnation. True forgiveness is a complete release, a complete letting go. And if we don't do that, it doesn't mean, by the way, that we think it's right, all right, that we agree with it. It just means that I'm not going to carry that baggage around for the rest of my life. I don't need that in my life.
Right.
Letting it go.
It's about freedom. It's about letting it go and setting it free.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
You know, I want to be sure to tell our listeners about your website, which is www.johnjmurphy.org.
Yes.
And that they can find out, what can they find there?
Well, they can find the titles to all of my books, including the new book, Miracle Minded Manager, which is book number 20 now.
Wow.
Although I think three of my books are no longer in print. So they can find most of them. And you mentioned the word Zentrepreneur during the introduction. One of the books is Zentrepreneur. You'll notice by some of my titles that there's a unique combination, if you will, between spirit and business or spirit and leadership. There's some video clips. And by the way, Paul, I have a YouTube channel with over 200 free little, 3-4 minute, 5 minute clips, self-help type clips.
Beautiful. Yeah, beautiful. Well, I encourage people to look at your work, www.johnjmurphy.org. And I want to thank you, John. There's so much more we could explore, but we're out of time.
Yeah, I hear you. And the other thing too, Paul, is people can connect me through the website on LinkedIn, on Facebook, Twitter, things like that. And I'd love to be connected with your audience for sure.
Beautiful. Thank you for being on the show. And for those who tuned in to Pathways late today, this is your host, Paul O'Brien, author of the new book, Intuitive Intelligence, which shares the theme of Pathways, which is personal and cultural evolution. In a second, I'll tell you how you can rewind and replay this interview whenever you want via the internet or as a free podcast. Today, we've been visiting with John Murphy, author of Miracle Minded Manager. I want to say thank you to all of our listeners for tuning into Pathways, which is broadcast and streamed on the internet at www.kboo.fm on Sunday mornings at 8:30 USA Pacific Time. Podcasts of today's show, which you can listen to and forward to others, are available for free at divination.com, spelled divination.com, as well as via iTunes and other free podcast servers. This is Paul O'Brien reminding you to tell your friends about Pathways Radio and Podcast. And thanks again to John Murphy and to all of you listeners for tuning in and being a part of the Pathways conversation.